from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
It's a bit warm.
It is toasty. This garage, once again, was not a genius idea to set up our podcasting studio in
Well,
here.
Looking at it back, you know, it's kind of one of those pragmatic things. We basically commandeered a garage. We have a garage, but obviously no car. So, you know, the smart thing is, why don't you use another room in your house? And you can even sort of have an office and lay out a few couches. Fuck, you make it livable. I mean, how many people spend as many time in a garage as we do? Other than pretty much bands.
Yeah, I really feel like I'm getting all the money out of the house by living in the garage. It's a genius idea. I'm glad we do it.
Well, we do it because of, you know, financial constraint. But the problem is, I guess we weren't really sure how hot it was going to get in the summertime. Because, you know what, the year previous, it really wasn't that hot because there's no fucking windows or anything else like that, which is probably giving us scurvy or who knows what. But I figured, you know, no windows means no sunlight, and no sunlight inside means no heat. So I thought I was being smart here, but it turns out that, you know, when you have a shitload of computer equipment, podcasting equipment, lights in order to be able to not go crazy because you're in perpetual darkness, apparently that makes the place get pretty hot.
Yeah, don't forget that a lack of air exchange still means that the heat from outside still warms this place up pretty hot.
I think actually our body heat is what's heating up the actual room all the time.
Our body heat? I like it. It sounds so sexual. Our body heat.
Body heat.
Making it unbearable.
Well, you know,
it was
a movie.
Sweaty.
Body heat.
Yes, I know.
What was it about?
Body heat.
No, I don't think that's what it was about. I think it was a police drama or something.
Well, who cares?
I think it should have just been a porno movie. Come on now, it's body heat.
I think actually body heat was one of those... like, what was it, 9.5 weeks or was it 7.5 weeks? I don't know.
I think it's 9.5 weeks.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Body Heat is one of those practically pornographic adult dramas that they used to make back in the day when Hollywood had some testicles.
You know what's funny? I always confused 9.5 weeks with 9 months, which is a completely different movie. It's a very different movie. It's not even similar in any sense, but I keep on confusing it. One, just basically because I think that that was when Julianne Moore was at her sexual prime, so maybe that's why I keep remembering it.
What, 9 months or 9.5 weeks?
9 months. She was the main chick. She was the pregnant chick in 9 months.
Oh, that Hugh Grant was married.
Yes, that's
right.
Yeah,
9 months was a horrible movie.
It was a horrible movie, but Julianne Moore looked hot then, and she's an atheist, and I love her. You know, I had to drop her from my MILF thing, though.
Hey,
she's getting a little bit old and busted.
Did you like that clip I showed you of the Bill Maher segment with
Brad Pitt?
Yeah, exactly.
It was, you know, it was really funny. It was funny watching Brad Pitt geeking out. Like, I felt like he was there and he was a bigger fan of Bill Maher than Bill Maher was a fan of Brad Pitt.
It just seemed to me like Brad Pitt wanted to talk about politics and issues, and every time Bill Maher would try and small talk, he would get generally annoyed, like, why are you asking me stupid questions about shit that's not important? This is a news-type comedy show.
Yeah, so. But I mean, I think it's also because he was struggling a little bit at the beginning to kind of find his words. Find your words, Brad. Find your words. And I'm not going to deny that I would probably be shitting my pants if I was on Bill Maher. I'm not a professional actor, though. I'm not paid to act. I'm a terrible actor, probably. Sure. I guess we'll find out one day.
Mm-hmm.
But I did enjoy the fact that, you know, I was saying before, well, you know, I never really liked Brad Pitt when I was a younger man. And that's just because he was Brad Pitt, man. He's the dude that everybody else gets compared to, pretty much.
Brad Pitt is the alpha male.
He is the alpha male. So I was just like, damn him. And it turns out that he was in my favorite movie of all time, which is Fight Club. And I was just like, how can I hate this man? And then he just keeps getting good roles. And then all of a sudden, comes out of the atheist closet, and he, you know, apparently rolls the best joints in the world. Like, yeah, I guess I'm a Brad Pitt fanboy now.
Here's the deal. He went on to the show, and he said he had gone on Good Morning America just like a day or two earlier, and he brought up some interesting things. He basically said, What did he say about religion?
Well, it's basically what happened was that they were asking him whether or not he was going to run for mayor, because he spends part of his time in New Orleans trying to rebuild the place and that kind of stuff, and he lends his star power to them. So they released all these T-shirts with his face on it saying, you know, vote for Brad Pitt, even though he's not running. So he decided as a lark, I can't even believe I'm using that word, he decided as a lark that he was going to basically say, oh yeah, I'm running on a platform of no religion, legalized marijuana.
Legalized and taxate marijuana.
And maybe, what was the other one? I forget, there was no something else.
I don't know, there was something else that was also pretty controversial. I just don't remember what the hell it was.
Abortions for all? I don't know. Abortions for all, yay!
Yeah, I can't remember, but there was a third one in there that was also pretty good. So, someone who has the balls to say that, because that's some pretty big balls. I mean, lots of people aren't going to admit that... they don't believe in God.
But Bill Maher's right, man. Even he comes out to say that, and nobody shits on Brad Pitt. Mm. You know, they did when Daniel Radcliffe was on, but that's because all the Christians hate him because he's a sorcerer. And you shall not suffer a witch.
Yeah, but there are only so many fucking actors that are big enough to be able to say that and not be fucking petrified that it's going to cost them a shitload of roles. And I think Harry Potter and Brad Pitt are two that qualify for that position.
Well, let's just say that if you're trying to land, inmate number three in some piece of shit movie, you probably don't, come screaming out of the atheist closet. Mm. Just an idea. But I don't know. The liberal media, Ryan. The liberal media.
I just think for a lot of those mid to higher level people, I mean, I'm sure it fucks up your appeal. They say, how is this person going to appeal to this demographic? Oh, they're an atheist? Well, you can pretty much count all the fundamental Christians who refuse to go to these people's movies. Stuff like that.
Well, do you remember a little while back I was trying to include this portion on the site that was like where I wanted people to send in stories of their deconversion out of religion, I guess is the best way to call it, because it's not like as if they were converted to atheism. Atheism is not itself a belief, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Well, and, it's a belief.
It's a non-belief.
Yeah, exactly.
And at first, I got quite a few, and it was really fun, but obviously, you have the problem of being able to be consistent. Not everybody's story is necessarily good. I mean, I'll even admit, my story about my atheism does suck kind of,
it is
balls.
Quite tame.
It's pretty damn tame. Mm. I can't help it. But it's nice that every once in a while I kind of fall onto the a comment that a person puts on old posts and stuff like that. Because, people still comment on posts you put months ago. And it always depends on kind of like which articles are commented the most, because people go there and they'll just say something interesting. And it's really a shame that I can't just repost all the cool stuff that happens in some of the comment sections, because some of them are really cool. And like people talking about stories, like there was one guy who just came on and he was discussing basically the slow conversion that he was basically, going through where he said that the time where it really hit him was right after 9/11, where he said, geez, religion is kind of a problem, It's like these guys were motivated by what religion? And he was like, I had my suspicions there, like starting there. And once it's you paint that framework, I think it starts to unravel all these other problems that you're beginning to see. And right when you pull at that thread, you figure out at the end, it's like, oh shit, it's fucking religion at the end of the thread. No! I guess that's kind of his whole thing. But I wish that there was more sites out there that kind of discussed people's own personal experiences. Because one of the things that I realized that's really important, and I mean, I know that there's a lot of young people that listen to the show, some that are just, getting into it. They're maybe 12, 13, and they're listening to the show because they love two guys swearing all the time. They think that's cool. It is cool, kids. Remember to swear. It's awesome. Mm. But also, I kind of realized, the importance of reading when you're young, I think, is to find stories where you can relate to characters, where you suddenly see that you are not the only way to think the way that you think. And I think that kind of gives a person self-confidence. Or the self-confidence they need to be genuine and true to themselves, basically. And I think that it's the same with atheism, where there's a lot of people out there that kind of have these thoughts. They've never talked religion to anybody ever. And they've always thought secretly these things, but they're afraid to bring it up because they're worried, my family's going to disown me, or I'm going to lose all my friends, which is a fucking possibility.
Well, hey, if you read enough of those atheist stories, you'll find out that that's a pretty common occurrence. And, there's all sorts of negative atheist stories about coming out of the closet, so maybe it isn't such a popular such a popular thing to spread around. I agree, it's got to feel good, but I mean, why don't we talk a little bit about the atheist story that was on your website about the atheist blogger, the friendly atheist, who just some crazy religious person tried to get him fired from his job as a math teacher because he has an atheism blog.
Yeah, that's right. The Illinois Family Institute. Basically, what they decided to do is they sent out, I guess it's a press release to his faculty, the people at his faculty, and saying like, oh, you know, he has this giant atheist blog and it's interfering with his duties, and I love the analogy they used. They were saying like, well, how would you like it if a secret racist was teaching your children mathematics and so on and so forth.
Somebody who posted a whole bunch of Nazi things on his blog in his free time.
I mean, I think it's really funny because this is the same institute that has basically said that homosexuality is as bad as Nazism. So I don't even know if they can hear the very irony that comes out of their mouths. Like, did you hear what you just said? You're crazy. You're really crazy. I mean, obviously, he's got the support of everybody that he works with. They think it's completely outrageous. But can you imagine if, that happened to... I'm sure that fucking happens to lots of people, and they do get fired.
I'm sure it does, because we're just lucky in this case that this group are full of idiots and morons who you got to go to the website, and you got to read the article on it. Maybe you can put it in the notes when you put the radio show up, give a link back to that story.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Because it's just amazing. Just these people are complete crackpots, and it was lucky that they were, because otherwise this guy could be in trouble. If it was somebody a bit higher up, maybe somebody up in the school board.
No, I think they would have been smarter if they would basically have been lying for Christ, been devious about it, and started some kind of, I don't know, crazy non-related rumor, just to kick him out. And they just decide, well, he's an atheist, therefore he's an enemy. Therefore, we're allowed to say whatever the hell we want. You know, there's plenty of religious people that feel like that. As soon as you're outside that religious fold, they're like, okay, well, the rules doesn't apply to this motherfucker.
Well, you know,
I can do whatever the hell I want.
I guess the friendly atheist had already drawn up the battle lines because he had made fun of this group quite a bit. And I can understand why, because really, if all religious groups were like this, everybody would know how stupid religion was, because these people are just, oh, they're classic. Absolutely classic.
They really have two areas of focus, and their focus seems to be primarily on homosexuality and bringing back religion in schools. You know, like, those are really two of the worst activities that you can have. Like, basically, why don't you just mind your own fucking business? You can maintain your website spewing your horrible bullshit.
Yeah,
I don't
care. Drag your name through the mud.
It's like, I don't care if you post on your website or if you express yourself freely, but trying to get people actively fired, man, that is low. That is low. It's just fucking pathetic. I hate when people do that shit. Anyways, it's not that surprising. I want to talk about something else. I want to talk about Doomsday.
Ooh, I like Doomsday.
And, you know, I was doing a little bit of research today because it was bugging me this whole, you know, everybody, you just see it in the news all the time, the whole 2012 is the end of the earth, and, you know, there's that movie that's going to come out.
I have some friends who very firmly believe that the world is going to end in 2012, and it's...
Why do they believe that, actually?
I don't know. I'm not even arguing it with them. Just in 2013, I'm going to slap them. I'm going to slap them upside the back of the head and go, that's for the 2012 bullshit that you made me listen to for a couple of years.
I just think that they're the only thing constant about doomsday prophecies is that they're always happening, and everybody's always changing dates. I mean, there are pretty comprehensive lists out there on the web of all the predictions that have ever gone wrong. I thought I'd kind of include a few of them before we get to the Mayan one, because itself it's kind of funny, and try to run through the gamut of a couple different religions, because first we got Mormonism. Now, basically, Joseph Smith had predicted that Jesus would return, you know, before the end of his life. I think he had predicted that by the time that he was 85 years old, Jesus was going to come back, and it was going to be end times, which makes that about 1890.
But didn't everybody from back when they initially wrote the New Testament saying Jesus is going to be back in the next, like, 50 to 100 years?
Well, that's the whole thing. The first actual doomsday prediction is really in the first century A.D., where Jesus says, you shall, to his followers, that they would not die before his return, which has led to apologists basically assume that there is a person out there that is still alive from that era who cannot die called the Wandering Jew. This is a legend that is sort of basically spread as a way to explain away that theological issue.
Kind of like an ideological cousin to that dude in Indiana Jones and the what was the Goblet of Fire? What was the Cup of Jesus?
Fire.
I don't know.
Indiana Jones and the Cup of Jesus?
I get confused. You know,
The Last Crusade, maybe?
There we go. They're all such wonderful tales. I get confused. The guy in that.
You know, I think that's probably what George Lucas would have wanted to call it, considering how much that man is a hack, but that's not my point.
You know.
What was your point here?
My point was this guy is an ideological cousin to the dude that protects Jesus'
cup. Yeah. One of the brothers.
See,
yeah.
You're just too busy being a naysayer. And just
bringing Jesus' cup in the Indiana Jones. I thought you were going to actually talk about the fourth one, and I was going to tell you that you're not allowed to talk about the fourth Indiana Jones because it never happened, despite the fact that we're going to be shortly talking about Mayan stuff, which is somewhat related to the Indiana Jones thing. We're going to tiptoe around that fourth movie.
We're going to stay bullshit. The fuck away from it.
Okay, so yeah, you got the 1890 for the Mormons. You have the first century for the Christians. Well, they had a couple. I mean, I'm not going to go list through how many times some Christian douchebag has called for the end of the earth. You don't even want to know how many times. You could pretty much bet that every 40 years or so, on average, some dude declares that doomsday is coming. This is nothing new. But the most interesting of all the religions, mainstream religions, is probably the Jehovah's Witnesses, because since the publication of their magazines, I think it was 1880 when they started publishing it, they've repeatedly changed the dates of Armageddon because they keep getting it wrong. They finally stopped at 1990 because they were getting tired of being wrong. So then they just basically, you know, made it a very obscure in the future thing. They are the ones that took the longest, really, to kind of get it together. I think they predicted 1910. Hold on a second. I have a list here.
Basically, they were saying, it'll happen when it happens. Hey.
It's like,
we didn't know. You know, how was we supposed to know? You know, we're trying to work with calculations here. It's really hard.
I don't know if that's how Jehovah's Witnesses talk, but I'm trying a new voice. You like it?
Maybe somewhat Indian Jesus told them? Is that what the whole deal with?
Indian Jesus?
Yeah, Native American Jesus that comes back and hangs out with them. Wasn't that the whole deal?
No.
No.
But Mormons?
Yeah, no, I'm wrong.
No, you're completely wrong.
I just saw those nice pictures of Jesus hanging out with the Native Americans. That's the one they always show of Jesus in America.
Well, that's because the Mormons believe that Native Americans are actually the 13th tribe of Israel that traveled all the way to the Americas, and that the reason they have dark skin is that because God disfavored them. That's why they cursed them.
Wow, that has a racist little nugget in its center, doesn't
no.
it?
No. What? I mean, you are aware also that people use the story of Ham. You know who Ham is? In the Old Testament, Ham is one of Noah's sons. And Ham sees Noah naked, drunk and naked. So Noah curses all of Ham's descendants for seeing him naked, thus producing black people.
And I've seen my dad drunk and naked before. Thank God it didn't curse. You know, it scarred me, but it didn't curse me.
You saw that?
Yeah, he was, because me and my friend, it was when I was like 10 or something, and we were in my room fucking being loud at like 3 in the morning, and my dad like kicks in the door. It's like, shut up, kids.
And he was naked?
He slept naked. It's just how he rolled.
Wow.
Yeah,
that would have traumatized me as well.
I figured it was for added effect. You know, here's the whole thing. I used to think that, you know, he was probably so pissed but thinking back, that's the kind of thing I would do to my kids just to mess with them.
Be like, yeah, my dad did something fucking similar. He would threaten us with sort of like nudity if we didn't go to bed. He's like, I'm gonna come out of the shower and you guys better be in bed or else, because I'm not going to be wearing a towel. And we're like, no! So he used nudity, too, to shame us.
And how many sisters did you have?
Two sisters.
And how inappropriate do you think that was?
100%. Okay, let's go back to the Mayan one, because that's the big one. I mean, the last time we had something that big, Y2K, right? That was the whole thing. People were like, it's the new millennium.
Blah. I'm so glad that Y2K didn't end the earth, because I had the lamest Y2K ever. The New Year's Eve, always the lamest ever.
I don't know if you can top how lame mine was.
How lame was yours?
I went over to the old port in Montreal with a gigantic, you know, one of those gigantic beers, except for it wasn't even a beer, it was a cooler, and we missed the fireworks, and then we had to walk home. In the snow, it was just me and Quay, so that was basically my New Year's, I believe.
I watched it at home on a television with my girlfriend and her lame friend who was around so we couldn't have sex. That's how lame my Y2K
you
was.
You were not out in minus fucking 30 degree weather walking home with terrible, shitty fucking pseudo beer. I win. Okay, so yeah, there's the Y2K thing that ends up not working out. But the reason, okay, here's the reason why everybody's flipping out about the 2012 thing. And that wouldn't normally be a big deal because...
Because who gives a shit what the Mayans really, think anywhere?
They're gone. Anyway. They sucked. Okay? Did they have any answers? No, they're dead. Few answers.
The only answer they have is mystery.
But the other thing is... that you, okay, I hate to bring this back up. But do you remember in Indiana Jones and the Temple of the Crystal Skull... There were 13 skulls... That the crystal skulls or something like that. They have to gather. They're alien skulls, blah, blah. Sorry for ruining this shitty movie. It doesn't matter. But the number is 13. That's the important thing to remember. Because the way that their mathematics worked is they use base 13 and base 20 math. Okay?
These seem like two interesting numbers to choose.
Well, I mean, Jews chose base 6. We have base 10. People can have different bases. It's just basically... Yeah, it's just a mathematical convention. Now, the way that their calendar is organized, it's difficult to explain over the podcast, but just please bear with me here that, you know, when...
So long as you don't get back to more Indiana Jones and
No. It kind of... Okay, their calendar looks like... You ever see one of those old school clock radios that has, like, the little dials? And, you know, you basically, you have, from 9 to 0, and you're basically... creating a date based, like if you want to make 6 o'clock, so you put 6 and 0, .0, .0, whatever. You know, that would tell you that it's 6 o'clock in the morning, right?
Okay.
This is a very simple concept to grasp so far.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, imagine that a calendar was kind of like that, except for the maximum number that you could get. It was based on, like, there were five series of numbers, and the highest that it could go would be to 20. Mm-hmm. Okay, and after that, it's kind of like the clock. It goes over to 0 again because that's as high as your number gets. That's why it's a base 20, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's how their calendar works. So the maximum, the highest it can have before it resets is December 12, 2012. And then it would just go back to being year one.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason. It's just because of their shitty calendar is based on base 20. And that's why. But
you know what? It is funny how similar that actually is to, say, the whole Y2K bullshit that went down.
Yeah, like, it's actually kind of similar. It's just basically because you're like, okay, well, you know, the number has to be rebooted.
What is up with humans and numerology? Why are we such retards when it comes to that stuff? I mean, the Chinese are insane about it. We're insane about it even when it comes to bullshit, just computer components.
Oh, dude, you
and
don't even want to know.
Now we're thinking about the Mayan calendar like it means anything.
Do you have any idea how many people got married August 8, 2008 in China? They love the number 8, man. They're all about that. And that was like 8, 8, 8, 8, 8. You know, nothing but 8s. And they ate that up.
Crazy
8s. They ate it up.
Yeah.
Badoom.
I like it.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, finally got it.
We hit our 8 pun quota for the episode.
Now, okay,
for
here's
the joke.
Here's the thing, though. I mean, the 2012 myth would be nothing in and of itself were it not for some strange little coincidences that tend to pop up. First coincidence.
When you're looking for them.
When you're looking for them. That's the precise thing here. First coincidence, we are about to enter one of the... Basically, the sun has a 10-year cycle or 11-year cycle where it has either pronounced periods of solar flare activity or diminished portions. And it has to do with, the rotation. It's rotation and all, it's really complicated. I'm not going to go into it. But basically, solar flares happen on about that cycle of 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we're by the time it's 2012, we will be entering part of that cycle of, increased solar flare activity. So some doomsayers basically grab that, saying, like, that's the proof we're going to get grilled by a solar flare. So that was, it's kind of like one of those small little coincidences that a person jumps on, sees a slight, corollary, and just all of a sudden makes outlandish fucking claims that we're going to be burned to a crisp by a giant solar flare, which is one of the ways that people think that the end is supposed to happen.
Yeah, but don't you think that people who don't believe in the ridiculous Mayan calendar thing might have investigated that whole solar flare thing?
Oh, they already did, man. You can go online. You can find out. There are no solar flares that are going to burn us to a crisp. I mean, our sun is a very stable sun, and it's going to remain that way for another 3 or 4 billion years before you can start fucking panicking.
But what then, Jacob? Idiot.
Then it'll be disaster. In December 21st, year 3 billion in 12.
The sun will explode and Jesus will return. And then
He'll be wondering, like, where is everyone? Oh, I was too late. The sun consumed the earth. Well, oh well.
This crappy Mayan watch.
Okay, there is another way that people think that the end is going to come. This is sort of like they think that an interstellar body called Planet X is going to collide with Earth.
Planet X.
Okay, the whole thing about Planet X is that in... You know what? These dates keep popping up, and I don't even know why, but it's a coincidence. Okay, in the 1800s, about 1843, a British mathematician basically found out or figured out that part of Uranus's orbit...
My anus's orbit...
That part, it would have had some wobbles, so he believed that indicated that there was a solar mass, not a solar mass, but a planetary mass further away from Uranus, because that's all they knew at the time, and that's basically how Neptune got discovered, from the gravitational permeations of the planet. And they did the same thing with Neptune, because they had also found that there were certain permeations, and all of a sudden, boom, Pluto's discovered, you know? Because think about it. You point your telescope into the sky. You think you're going to fucking see something? You got to know where to look, son. Mm. It's a lot of darkness out there. So they found Pluto, and they found its moon. But unfortunately, both those masses weren't quite enough to really satisfy some of the calculations. So people were like, well, maybe there's other planetary objects out there that we haven't really...
Noticed yet.
You know, it's kind of called the two-body problem, I believe. It's just when you're trying to understand... Some things, you know, like the way that it's positioned in space, you're like, you have to measure all these other bodies that are around it because they're having an effect. You know, like there's gravitational pulls coming from all over the place. In fact, I guess it's a kind of reason why it's good that the universe is expanding. Otherwise, we'd be just all colliding into each other all the time.
So this is all trying to explain why Uranus wiggles.
That's why everybody thinks that there may be some other kind of planetary mass that we haven't seen that's out there. So
that's going to hit Earth.
Well, not every thing that has an orbit has kind of like the same type of elliptical orbit that we do. Some of them are really wild. So they think that there's just some kind of massive planetary or dwarf star, because most of the fucking solar systems out there in the galaxy are binary. So they think, oh, well, there's maybe some dormant brown dwarf. And a brown dwarf is basically a star that hasn't ignited yet. It's kind of like an invisible sun. So they think that an invisible sun out there is waiting to collapse with us.
So it's an invisible sun,
yeah,
which is related to a brown dwarf.
Well, it is a brown dwarf.
Which we detected via Uranus.
No, via Neptune. Okay. But we haven't detected it. And besides, like, the whole thing is... The weird calculation, the reason why they think it's headed our way is because there were two observations made trying to predict where that planetary mass might be. One of them was made, I think, in 1983, and then the other in 1992. And the one in 1983 was sort of like they picked up an object that was about 50 billion Earth units or whatever, like distances between the Earth and the Sun, 50 billion of those from us. And then in 1992, an anomaly was detected that was basically about 8 billion units away from us. So they were just saying, look, it's traveled 48, you know, how much did I say? It doesn't matter. It traveled billions of light years, and it's on its way. So this is the very flimsy evidence that sort of leads morons to conclude that a planet is headed our way. I mean, I don't need to tell you that actually a brown dwarf would be so significantly larger than Earth. It's actually probably about 50,000 Earth masses.
I'm tired.
I mean, couldn't even miss it.
Earth masses and brown dwarfs and Uranus, I'm sick and tired of talking. It just seems like we're giving this way too much. We're trying to explain away these people's ridiculous scientific... They're not even scientific anythings. They're just...
Well, it's just enough so that it can fool... people who don't know anything. I mean, the only reason I'm mentioning is that I don't suppose you're going to listen to the show ever to get some good information to go back to and say, ha, the good atheist said that. But at the very least, the information's out there. You are aware of it. You can fucking defend yourself and know how to talk to these idiots. Because let me tell you something. If a person comes over to you and starts talking about how the end will start in 2012, please have a conversation with them. Please do a little bit of research and just nail them for it. Because I think one of the big things that I've realized over the past few years is that I'm really sick and tired of letting people who say stupid shit pass. That's it, you know? It's like every time fucking Sarah Palin opens her mouth, you know, you got to say something. Every time a moron creationist goes like this, the earth is 6,000 years old. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. And it's enough, all right? I've had enough of these morons. I've had enough of us placating them and assuming, well, we all got to be polite. No, we don't. I don't need to be polite. This is not a fucking requirement of mine, all right? It is not illegal to fucking talk, to speak your mind. And sometimes you do have to be a little bit rude when a person believes in something retarded. It's like, hey, retardo, why don't you read a fucking book and then we can have a conversation? Just a thought. Just a fucking thought. Hmm. Anyways, I love apocalyptic kind of like...
We got a friend who worked on the 2012 movie. His special effect company was responsible for blowing up one of the gigantic monuments. I'm not going to give away which one it is, but it's a big white one.
Wow, that's good. Yeah. You didn't give anything away there.
Nope.
I love apocalyptic prophecies only for one reason, because of the movies that they create. Because I do admit that there is something entertaining in contemplating massive destruction, so long as nobody gets hurt.
Well, it's always so fun to watch everybody pull together and fight against the aliens or asteroids or whatever else in a way that would never work out in real life.
Yeah, well, you know, another thing, too, that we like is that whenever Mother Nature is the bad guy, that galvanizes us. We're like, fuck you, Mother Nature, human beings versus Mother Nature. And sometimes, you know, that is what it's like. Us versus Mother Nature.
Well, in this case, you know, Mother Nature is more that planet, like Earth. And I would say that this would be more like Grandfather Xenu from outer space.
Grandfather Cosmos that's fucking laying the bitch slap. Because that's the other thing, too. I mean, we always wonder, like, oh, what kind of effect do we have on planet Earth and blah, blah, blah. But we live in a dangerous, dangerous universe. It just happens to be really, really big. So dangers tend to avoid us for the most part. But I mean, I think one of the main reasons why we're still around is if you were to look at the position of Earth relative to the Milky Way galaxy, we are on the fucking outskirts. We're the butt fuck nowhere, and that's good. That is good, because if you were closer to the middle, it gets really crowded and really dangerous. And besides, right in smack dab in the middle is a supermassive black hole, and you don't want that shit. Scary. You don't want that shit. It's there from the beginning of the universe. Yeah, well, quasi.
Is that where Jesus lives?
The beginning of the universe? He's outside the universe, Doug. And he sees you, and he's your best friend in the whole world.
I like it.
He loves you.
It comforts me.
Okay. Well,
he's a lot cheerier than a supermassive black hole. I will give him that.
Yeah, well, the universe isn't always that cheery of a place with fucking X-ray bursts and, I mean, quasars and galaxies exploding.
It's
crazy.
It always seemed to work out on Star Trek, though. That's one of the things that kind of annoyed me. How many times did they fly through, like, a black hole or a space anomaly?
A singularity.
That didn't just rip the Enterprise in half and kill everybody inside.
I know, seriously.
Because that's what would happen. Oh, we were bombarded by space rays and we're all de-evolving. But we don't die and we're all fine at the end of the episode. Boo Burns.
I always thought it would be interesting if you took Star Trek, but you kind of like... you remove the fact that apparently space doesn't matter. Because in the show, they're always traveling all over the place. Like, anywhere they want to go, they can go. Remember during the movie where all of a sudden... I guess the Klingon homeworld explodes, and they're there in like 2 days or something like that. Fuck, space is tiny in those science fiction shows.
It's the only way to make it decent.
I know, because once you kind of like figure out the logistics of actually having to travel in a galaxy, you realize that, yeah, no, we'd never reach each other.
Mm-hmm. You'd have that cryostasis for 10 years bullshit like an alien.
Oh, 10 years? What are you kidding me? Like fucking 50,000 years.
Hey, give us some props. We're going to figure out how to go faster soon.
You think so?
I don't know.
I'm tend to kind of like be like the Isaac Asimov of predicting the future, saying, well, I think that we'll have a really good understanding of the fundamental laws, but there are some that you just cannot fucking break.
Man, everybody always thinks we figured out most of the big things, and then something else amazing comes.
And you know what?
Happens.
When they thought that too, the people who thought that were retarded. Mm-hmm. It's like we inherited a lot of retarded shit, and we've since managed to really get our shit together. And I'll admit that we're not quite there, But to compare it to, say, a person who just invents sitting on his chair saying, the universe rests, the world rests on pillars, and then assuming, well, we didn't know back then, so maybe we don't know as much as we didn't know then. No, we know more now, and that's the scary thing, because, you know, I'm not saying that we're going to reach a limit to what we can know, but I'm saying that we will reach a limit to what we can do. But I don't think that that limits is going to be that limiting. I'm just saying that it's going to have to put some hard realities on space exploration. Mm-hmm. I'm saying, like, consider the fact that if you really want to be a steward of space, it has to happen in galactic time frames. And that means over many millions and billions of years. Forget this 50-year bullshit thing you're on. You want to go travel to the next star system? You better put yourself in cryosleep for the next 50,000 years and just go off and hope that nothing's changed.
Man, that's not going to be very popular. You got to sell a 500-year plan to colonize Mars. That's what I say.
I have to do this?
No, no, not you. I'm just saying anybody that wants to make it semi-interesting.
All right, fine. Fine. Fair enough. All right, you know what? I think with that, we should probably wrap up the show.
I'm hot.
I am very hot. I'm fucking...